You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, May 15th. A reminder that ballots are due by this Tuesday, May 20th, for Oregon's special election. You can go to our KMUN election page at kmun.org/election for info about where to drop off your ballot if you live in Clatsop, Tillamook, or Columbia counties. Once again, that's kmun.org/election. Starting this week, the expansion and modernization of both the Nurses Station and Hospital Pharmacy at Ocean Beach Hospital in Ilwaco gets underway. It's the second of four major capital facilities bond-funded projects at the hospital, supported by Pacific County residents. Ocean Beach Hospital CEO Marianne Keene says the expansion is all about improving patient care and strengthening staff support systems. Chief Nursing Officer Brenda Sharkey says the hospital's nurses were closely involved in planning the design of the new nurses station. Construction will take place in phases to minimize impacts to current hospital patients. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Economic growth has slowed in Oregon. That's according to the state's most important revenue forecast released yesterday. Oregon lawmakers have $500 million less to spend in the upcoming two-year budget cycle than they anticipated just 3 months ago. Federal uncertainty due to Trump administration policies such as tariffs, immigration crackdowns, and cuts to grants and employees are all factors in the revised forecast. This all means the personal income tax kicker rebate in 2026 will be $87.5 million smaller than projected, but still a windfall of $1.64 billion. Earlier this week, congressional Republicans unveiled a plan to cut federal spending for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, by at least $230 billion, mostly by shifting costs to states. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek says the state cannot afford those shifts, and it means people will go hungry in Oregon and in other states. SNAP food benefits are used by 42 million Americans and more than 700,000 Oregonians. Kotek and Oregon Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley joined a press call on Tuesday with three other Democratic senators and the head of a Vermont anti-hunger group to discuss the proposed cuts. According to Kotek, the federal proposal means that the taxes Oregonians pay to the federal government will not return to the state to help their neighbors in need. The governor began her career as a policy advocate for the Oregon Food Bank. She says she saw firsthand what it means for people to skip meals, to afford rent or medicine, and knows how fragile food security is for many. Wyden sees potential cuts to SNAP and Medicaid as a, quote, double whammy for healthcare. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. There are over 1,000 tide gates in Oregon. They keep the ocean from flooding agricultural land. But many tide gates were installed more than 70 years ago, and now they're at risk of failure. As Jefferson Public Radio's Justin Higginbottom reports, replacing them isn't easy.
Fred Messerly's family has made their living off the land along the southern Oregon coast for seven generations. Today, he's standing near a newly built tide gate that spans Palouse Creek next to a road in Coos County. On one side of the street is an inlet of Coos Bay. On the other side are grazing sheep, totally oblivious to the effort it took to keep their pasture above water.
I don't know if you can see there, see where the mud line is on that. When that water gets up to that point, then that float will lift and that will mechanically trigger these gates so that they'll close.
A tide gate is like a big door on a river or creek that feeds into the ocean. High tide will push the door closed, protecting pastures and crops from salt water. When water recedes during low tide, the door swings open, letting fresh water drain into the ocean. This tide gate was built last year.
There's four 10-foot wide gates in this structure.
state-of-the-art in terms of tide gates. Coos County has about a third of all tide gates in Oregon. Most were put in around 70 years ago, quickly and cheaply, so that families like the Messerlys could grow crops. But times have changed, and things are no longer quick or cheap.
We were working for, well, almost over 30 years to try to get a new structure built.
Haley Lutz, executive director at the Coos Watershed Association, says a reason for this is a daunting regulatory process.
There's like anywhere from 9 to 11 agencies involved in permitting a single tide gate upgrade. It's a big multi-jurisdictional problem.
The site of a tide gate can include confusing overlays of private, state, and county land. Policymakers formed the Oregon Tide Gate Partnership to streamline the process, but it's still hard. Another issue is the cost. Back in the day, tide gates were less expensive.
When they were put in, a lot of them at the same time, they were way cheaper. You know, they just put in a massive, heavy top-hinge slab of wood, and now you're seeing things that are much more expensive.
That tide gate on Palouse Creek took around $3 million to build, paid for by state conservation grants. There are also more regulations meant to help fish, like the endangered coho salmon, move through these waterways. Allison Tarbox, a project manager with the Coos Watershed Association, says fish traveling downstream can be harmed if tide gates don't open wide enough.
Have you ever put your thumb over like the end of a hose and you see that velocity just kind of spray out and around? It kind of does that whenever it pushes open.
She says as the structures age, it's more likely they won't work properly, putting fish at risk. And the situation is getting pretty dire.
Since they were all kind of installed at the same time, they're all kind of failing all at the same time.
Climate change makes those tide gates even more crucial. Scientists predict that waters will rise at least 3 feet along the Oregon coast in the next 80 years. Fred Messerly explains that flooding due to a failing tide gate isn't only a problem for farmers.
Here, there's a mile and a half of county road that would be subject to flooding on the high tides in the wintertime. You wouldn't be able to get to work or get home again.
That could impact emergency services and inundate lowland buildings. The frustrating thing for Messerly is that they have a solution to it all, to protect fish, agriculture, and infrastructure.
We've learned so much in the last 20, 30 years that to say that we can't do it and protect all of our stakeholders, we just can't say that anymore.
Those stakeholders just need lots of money and to get through lots of regulations. Messerly says Coos County and its tide gates can't wait another 3 decades. I'm Justin Higginbottom in North Bend.
Next Friday, May 23rd, Nehalem Bay State Park will reopen day use areas, including trails and the boat launch. However, the campground at Nehalem Bay State Park will remain closed until at least July 1st due to ongoing construction. Park manager Ben Cox says his staff is excited to welcome visitors back to the park, and they appreciate the public's patience. The substantial upgrade work at Nehalem Bay was made possible by funding approved by the state legislature back in 2021. It's one of 9 projects at various Oregon state parks focused on building capacity, increasing accessibility, and maintaining aging park infrastructure. For all updates, go online at stateparks.oregon.gov. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.